All right, so we now have on stage Guillaume, who is going to talk about, as he mentioned, packaging Bazel packages with Bazel software with Nex. Thank you.
So welcome everyone. I spent some months working on and off on trying to package Bazel 7. And I figured there are like plenty of fun things that happened and nice things to learn from that. So I wanted to share with you today. I'm Guillaume Modou, a computer scientist. I'm like fond of build systems, all of them. Well, the one I prefer is TUP, but we don't want to speak about it today. I'm working like for my day job as a consultant in doing Bazel Nix, doing Nix and Bazel work at Twig. You have like all my contact info, and yeah, this work was like funded by Intuitive Surgical and Twig together. So, getting Bazel 7. Bazel 7 was released last year, end of last year, and it took some time to get this into Nix packages, even though there is already like a Bazel 5, a Bazel 6, a Bazel 4 in Nix packages, and each time we make a copy, reuse, and try to improve, it still takes a lot of time. I think there is like a fundamental difficulty in trying to get Bazel to work inside Nix because they just don't like each other. To be honest, I think Bazel tries to do everything and doesn't want to share with anyone else. So, of course, there is friction when you want to encapsulate it into something else. But initially, it looks like they could be quite happy together. Bazel is like file-based, like make, like CMake, like all of these nice build systems we use for all the packages inside Nix. So that should work. And Nix is package-based, so the kind of one works, manages the package, the other just a project. Should be easy. But then it gets a bit worse. Because, of course, you cannot get the benefits of Bazel. Bazel wants to do remote caching, remote execution, and all of that is prevented by the Nix sandbox. So just like with other build systems, in this case, it's not different, but you see like how these things do not work as well as you may expect from Bazel. Then you have some issues like a bit more annoying. Like Bazel assumes that there is like the file system ERP standard everywhere, and like Nix does not provide that anywhere, so kind of stuck there. Bazel loves to include precompiled dependencies, and it will happily. And this feature is intended to help all the users that are not using Nix, but it's really annoying for us. It downloads dependencies from the internet. And that's kind of built into Bazel. So with the sandbox, we break Bazel completely, and we need to work around that. It's really hard to package, so these are like four snippets of things that we won't discuss today and that we have to do to make Bazel work. We have to patch all of the user bin paths. We have to remove some chunks of code that try to access the system state, and that's obviously not possible inside a sandbox, like preventing the system from going to sleep. Apparently, Bazel has an empty arg when it calls GCC and it crashes. I mean, we don't even know if that code is still needed anymore, but like, not so much to do, we didn't try to remove it. At some point, at least, that was needed. And yeah, it comes with nested archives, so you have to unpack some things so that the patches work, and then you have to repack them in the exact same way, otherwise everything breaks. Lots of fun. But we won't discuss that today. I've picked like five issues that are more meaningful, I think. There is the Java toolchain. That's something that we need to set up properly to be able to build Bazel itself. And then setting the right path, because if we want to package Bazel, we want a Bazel that works as closely as possible to the vanilla Bazel. Then we move slowly to building package that use Bazel as a build system, even if it's also the case for Bazel, because Bazel uses Bazel as a build system to build Bazel. You're still following? Good. So we enter the realm of like fetching dependencies of the build, which is quite tricky, and then we will also discuss about like picking the right Bazel version using .bazelversion file. And again, the Java toolchain. Why not? We'll see it's so complex that it deserves 2 points. So we start with the Java toolchain. Bazel hardcodes everything everywhere. So here, Bazel tries to do something nice for us. It will download the single jar binary that's already pre-compiled. It's a C++ application, by the way, so Of course, it doesn't just work like that with Linux. And for Darwin, Linux, and Windows, it will pick the right one for you. But there is no way to change that, except like patching the source code. We cannot, like, from the outside, configure the build so that it picks something else. In this case, we probably want this one, the one that's built from the C++ sources with the C compiler, because we can do that on Linux, and we get a proper binary. But none of these pre-built binaries work. So we have to create. And you see, this is a patch, so there is no way to do that without like modifying the source code again. We create tool chains for Bazel that do not contain these like pre-built dependencies. To do that, we use a non-pre-built toolchain configuration. So that's defined somewhere, even though it's not that much tested in the code base, so we can reuse it. And we use the local GDK, meaning we want to use Java from the system and not some pre-built Java, because that one also doesn't work. Okay. Yeah, okay, that's all right. So this is like showing the non-pre-built configuration that we use and the thing that we would get otherwise by default. Like the remote GDK is something you download, it's from a remote cache. And the single jar one we've seen on the previous slide. But that custom toolchain is kind of fragile because nobody uses it. So when I updated, suddenly it was missing one of these entries, and we got like a proper binary downloaded from the internet, and that didn't work. So we have to make upstream patches to get it to work. Thankfully, that one landed fast enough, so it was like not broken too much. It was broken between 7 and 7.1, so no one should ever see that on a proper release. Another funny issue we have is setting the right path. Initially, it seemed pretty simple, like we have to patch the paths so that our Linux build, Bazel finds all of the common bash scripts that everyone expects to have. So we do that, and we do that in a lot of places until it works. And in the end, we have something that doesn't really work like Bazel should. We've discovered that, like, so this is the behavior of like vanilla Bazel based on like several options that you can change. And if you take Bazel with some patch that we have, oh, there's something very strange there. Like it has an extra branch, so you can end up with a patch that's configured differently than what you would expect. And you have the same with all the patch, so everything has branches everywhere, and it's a bit like, yes, it is not consistent with what you would expect from upstream Bazel. That's really annoying, because as we will discover later, users rely on that fake behavior, and then when you try to fix it, they say, hey, you've broken the build. Yeah, I think this is the correct way to do it with respect to Bazel, but I know that we've been using that Nix build Bazel for like 3 years, and you're used to it. So now change your build. It's really annoying that we are maintaining a fork of Bazel to some extent. So, first issue we had, we end up with a path that is like literally no such path. That thing can only come from Nix. We are the one that hardcode it. If bash from Nix starts without the proper path, it will default to no such path. It's kind of thinner, like normal bash will default to bin, user bin, user local bin. That makes no sense either. So in both cases, it's a kind of a nice default, but doesn't really work with Bazel because Bazel expects to have like some default bash tooling there. We have a script for that. Like if path is like no such path, then we export the path to the default shell utils. It should work, except we have these runtime inputs. I had no idea what it did. It seemed like good. We want all of these dependencies, except this modifies the path to that value. And it does it so that it appends that value to the path. So we have a no such path colon something else. It kind of works, but it's also kind of ugly. Like, why is no such path in there? It shouldn't be. That's one of these red dots. OK, remove that line. Easy enough. And then we still have some very strange things. Like the path is composed of two parts, the path that Bazel sees from the outside, and the outcoded string path. So some concatenation happens somewhere. This is like This does not happen in the default Bazel behavior, right? It's only the path there, only the path, only the path. So when we should have Bazel's path, we see an extra hard-coded string. Where does it come from? Of course, we wrap Bazel with that path. So this is technically the path that Bazel sees, because it has been wrapped. But it's not what the user expects, because the user expects to have the same path as the one that's ambient when it calls Bazel. OK, so we need to remove more and more wrappers. These were all useful at some point. They fixed some issues. Now we have better fixes implemented. But these ones are like broken. And in the end, we get this very nice graph that does not depend on which Bazel binary you are using. I mean, it took me some time to read there, so I'm really happy when I see this graph. This explains a lot about how Bazel decides what's the environment for the actions that you run, and we can discuss it later at some point. At least, all our Bazel binaries are consistent. Modulo something in the hard-coded version from like vanilla Bazel, it's bin, user bin, user local bin, and we set it to some proper path that contains default bash things. So, upstreaming Nixt support in Bazel, that's like kind of, ideally we would not have to do all of that work. It should be way easier to build Bazel in Nixt. Maybe some of the common stuff we can accept, like patching shebangs, we know that. But having to redefine everything because Nixt is not aware, because Bazel is not aware that Nixt exists and only thinks about, you know, if it's Linux, then probably that binary works for you. I'm like, give me a way to change that. Give me a way to configure that. And Bazel does not do it. Technically, it's feasible, but it's like not really used, at least in the Bazel code base. There is no way to configure it. It's just like Bazel knows better than you what you should use to build it. And in this case, it's obviously wrong. The biggest chunk here is like prefetching build dependencies, because that's where, of course, we have to fight with Bazel. Inside the sandbox, Bazel is not allowed to download anything. So we have to download it before Bazel kicks in. And then Bazel has to find it. So what we used to do before is like look at the workspace file, which defines all of the external dependencies. This is kind of looks like Python, right? Yeah, it's Python enough that we can execute in an environment that defines HTTP archive. And we collect all of the files that we depend on. It's not perfect, but it's funny because it's a big hack. And sadly, it just doesn't work anymore because they have changed the format. So now the workspace is empty. We have no Python to execute. Now we need to parse some JSON, the log file, which is something that really nice that comes to Bazel. Now we have a proper log file, so we know what we can do with log files in Nixt. We can parse it, we can retrieve the information, and then make proper Nixt derivations from that. So we can parse the log file with JQ. It's a bit obscure, but it works. Then I wrote it in Python, because it seems like it's obvious. And then I wrote it in Nixt, because why not? We can parse JSON in Nixt and extract everything. So I have this like nice script that takes the log file, a JSON file, and generates a repository cache and a disdir. These are like formats that Nixt, that Bazel uses to fetch, to store things that were downloaded from the internet. And so it will first go there to see if it's already downloaded before trying to do the actual download. If you did it well, it will not try to download. If you do it wrong, of course, it still tries to download and crash. It's obviously not that easy because like there are already three versions of that log file. It's been released like a year ago, but they are making fast iterations. Version 4 is there, and it's probably going to change everything. So I don't know if we will support all of these versions or maybe stick with the latest. It's really unclear right now. And the format is kind of well-defined, but it's like each rule can have its own internal format. And sadly, the URLs and the hashes are hidden in that internal format, so we kind of need to support everything that's possible, which is obviously not going to work. But it seems that, all in all, most most projects use the same set of commands, and we are able to do something with it. Of course, any failure makes it that we cannot build Bazel, or that we can't build a package that uses Bazel because we are missing dependencies, and we are back to the nightmare of just trying to download everything locally and then make a big blob that we hash and say, hey, take that. But it's totally not reproducible. Yeah. Speaking of dependencies, there was like a nasty issue that came from like the Bazel versions. If you look at Nix packages, I mean, we are nice guys. We provide Bazel 4, Bazel 5, Bazel 6. It's Bazel 6, but it's also the default Bazel. And Bazel 7, right? All of them are provided. But no, when you build with Bazel, you want 7.0.2 or whatever. But Bazel needs exactly that version. Why? That's how it works. But the thing is, it also works really well if you delete that file before building. Most of the time. But no. Now again, it started failing. And it fails for a funny issue. Some of your dependencies, they are dependencies of your build. They are things that you need. Okay? But some of your dependencies, you don't know about them, but they are things that Bazel needs because it has built-in rules. And these built-in rules have like built-in dependencies. And these are also in the log file. But if you start building with a different Bazel than the one that was specified and that was used to generate the log file, then these built-in dependencies are not the one that Bazel wants. And Bazel tries to download it from the internet, and then it crashes. So we need to do some magic. We need to take some files that are downloaded for the project and some files that are downloaded based on the Bazel version. We need to merge them together, and that creates a folder that Bazel can use to build correctly with a different version. I'm really fond of one thing here, the fact that you can merge this thing by using symlink join. It means that the format is not that bad. Well, when you reach there, you're like, okay, this is pretty neat. I think Nix could learn something from that format too, because what they do is something really smart. They store like binaries from the internet under hash, just like Nix does technically. It's like fixed output derivation. We download something and we put it in our known hash. But we have this problem like where we change the name or change something from the input and forget to update the hash. Then it happily reuses the same hash forever. Bazel fixes that by having like an extra file that tells where it was downloaded from. And so you can pass extra information that will invalidate the cache and force a re-download, probably just to check that it's still the same file. But if it's not, then at least you have a check. I'm not sure how to implement that. It may cost a lot if you make like a few changes in Nix, but there is some inspiration to take from there, I think. Anyway, we are back to the Java toolchain. So we have a Java toolchain that can build Bazel, but now we want users of Bazel to be able to build Java projects. It's kind of the same thing, and then not at all. Because when we build Bazel, we can hard code everything we want. We can even change the source code to make it work. When users are using Bazel, we cannot like change. We don't want to patch Bazel too much for it. We want to make change that work by default. But we also want this change to be like revertible, so that people that don't need it or it doesn't work for them for some reason, which happens sometimes, then they need to be able to remove it. And to do that, we use another hack, a very nice one, I think. Bazel by default access /etc/bazel.bazelrc. There is no redundancy there. And we add an indirection, so we patch Bazel so that it accesses first a BazelRC that is like hard-coded by Nix. And that one contains a few settings that Bazel will always read. The thing is, using that technique, we set up some default values. So we force Bazel to use our like local, non-prebuilt Java toolchain, the one that we painfully set up. That's it, yeah. We force like the version of Java to run Bazel, and then we try import the real file. This is really transparent. There is a small risk that users don't know that this exists and don't understand where this option comes from. I hope they know how to debug Bazel. But otherwise, each of these options can be overridden because these being options, the last one wins. Okay, so if you add a new one, like you change Java runtime version to remote JDK, your last flag will win. Except for one, because why not? This one, the first one wins. So nobody can override it. When it's there, it's like stuck. After some discussion, they realized that it was a bit silly, and so we agreed on like removing the order for these flags too. That was also a funny thing. So regarding like all the things that we do to make people build package with our Nix built Bazel, I don't think there is as much to upstream as like the things I presented before, because I mean, these hacks are a bit annoying, but they are kind of expected to. These are things we do for other build systems. Like Ruby packages, we download the dependencies and then we provide them, and then we have to add some wrappers. In Python, we have even more wrappers. So I think this is kind of expected, even if it's a lot of work where we like parse JSON in Nix. Maybe that wasn't wise either. But I think we've reached like a place where it's like already kind of easy to use, even if not perfect. We cannot compile Bazel from real sources. We use like the generated sources, which is not exactly the same thing and differs in a lot of ways. It's not fully bootstrapped either, so we cannot yet build Bazel with Bazel, meaning that like building things with Bazel is still difficult, right? We build Bazel using the bootstrap process, which is again different, simplified, and like more guided by the Bazel team. So yeah, it's not yet perfectly easy to use, especially on NixOS. But then at the same time, I realized that upstream has some interest into Nix. They know we exist. They are willing to add patches. If you have a proper reason why we need it and we can argument, then they will happily merge it. I was also surprised. I know I work on like very small projects all over Nix packages, but on that one there were like reviewers, people making comments, people testing my temporary thing, reporting issues. It was a really nice community feeling for one about that project. So I think it's really well supported. And of course, being Nix, every time we update it, we improve it, and we keep the receipt, and so we can like make improvements, we can build upon the shoulders of like Bazel 4 or 5, 6 that came before. Well, as you've seen, that's like all I did, and I'm the kind of person that really, really loves challenges. So if you are willing to join, you are welcome, and if you have other challenges to share, I'm really keen to hear that with you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions?
Thank you for the talk. You mentioned generated sources versus real sources. What are the generated sources of Bazel?
They do pre-generate some like tables, things that are not compiled, but provided in the Bazel binary. Like all the built-ins, Starlark rules will be there. And that's like the zip file that I have to unpack and repack. That zip file does not exist in like the normal sources. You don't commit a zip file to. And a lot of other things, like they try to help people, so they provide they provide binaries. So that's with that generated tarball, which is huge, like it's like 250 megabytes. It contains all of the, like, the binary dependencies. And a lot of those we don't need, but also it makes it really easier to have all of the needed dependencies. Because of the hacks we do with the Java toolchain, we need one more file that's not there. That's pretty easy to compile. So we don't have to think too much about dependencies when we build Bazel with that tarball.
If someone who enjoys Bazel discovers your work and understands it, do you think they will be convinced to stop using Bazel and use Nix instead?
No, I mean, that's not at all the point of this talk, at least. I can't say what they will feel. Maybe they will like discover that Bazel is complex. But the reason Bazel is like taking off is it has all of these optimizations that you want. So as someone that deploys Bazel a lot, and a lot of companies, they still want it, right? You don't want Nix to come and compile for 2 hours because you made one change to one file. That's like, for me, these are complementary build systems. If only Bazel was not trying to be a package manager tool, because that's the part that really conflicts between Nix and Bazel.
May I have another one? So from the practical point of view, how soon can we have something like use Bazel mod lock hook instead of fetch utters with nested if-else loops per platform and queue support, and how far are we from being able to say Nix and it TensorFlow?
I can answer the second question easily, like really far. But for the first question, it's definitely something we could do. It's just like, I'm amazed by the amount of work I had to do, like recompiling Bazel, because it's not an incremental process right now. It takes like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So each iteration takes that time, and so you focus on like making it work, not like trying to make a nice setup hook. Ideally, this would work, of course, but there is a slight problem also. It's like you need these things before evaluation. So it's not just a hook, right? Because the hook cannot download the files. To do something like that, then you would need recursive Nix or some way of Nix inside Nix to be able to do that. So right now, I've implemented it with import from derivation, for like making it simple to use, and in some cases I just like download the log file, add it to the sources, and use that directly. So I don't have to have an import from derivation at all.
Can we just commit the log file to the Vulkan?
Yeah, we can do that. It's just huge. So what I do is I take JQ, remove a lot of the things that are not needed, and it's still a log file.
All right, let's have a round of applause for Guillaume.